following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you on today's program. Doug due to Randy Bushcutter on this Wednesday. We're 1 week away from the Husker Roundtable in our Big Ten preview, which is always the last of the teams to look out. Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, 1 week from today on the Doug and Daddy Show. And then in 8 days, Randy and I will be in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days as we hear from the coaches, the players, the reporters, all that we have over the last dozen or 10 years, whatever it's been, from the first one we went to in Kansas City to now in Chicago. And today our Big Ten preview takes us to Purdue, who Nebraska plays there on Halloween, and we'll talk with Mike Carmen of the Lafayette Journal and Courier. We'll also catch up with Corey Westra, the commissioner of the Great Plains Athletic Conference, Hastings College, member, of course, of the GPAC. We'll talk about Nebraska Wesleyan leaving, the chances for expansion. College of St. Mary comes in for our women's sports this year, so we'll talk about that. And American Legion Baseball, all coming up on today's program.
Got a lot going on. And, you know, you're talking about going to Chicago. I'm already picturing our trip to the pizza place that we found. That was outstanding pizza, you have to admit. That was great pizza. Best meal we had there, I think, far and away. A couple of those other places were you can tell I'm hungry, can't you? I'm already kind of thinking about, you know, so I'm thinking about lunch in 2 weeks.
Fill in the yeah, you're weird joke here, but... And I haven't traveled as much as some people. I've traveled probably more than others, so I'll say I'm a little bit below medium as far as travel. But, you know, I just like food. I like good food.
Kind of food. Yeah.
You know what? Chicago pizza, Kansas City barbecue, I mean, it's all good. But I don't do backflips. I mean, because I eat
pizza
good. I don't go to fast food place when I go on the road.
Well, nor do I.
So
but
I'm saying,
a pizza,
of course,
a good
it's
pizza.
Good.
Chicago pizza place is not a fast food joint.
Well, that's what I'm
it
saying.
Wasn't fast.
I'm saying
that was a meal, man.
That's
that
not,
was a meal.
That's not what I meant at all.
Okay.
When you go somewhere, you eat food.
And you try to find something that's unique to that city. You go to Kansas City, you gotta have barbecue. You got to have barbecue.
No, you don't.
I think you do.
Why?
That's part of the experience
There's
of going to the
places.
City. Oh, so go to Boston and have a steak. Don't eat any seafood or nothing. Yeah, that's what I would
okay,
do.
Okay, but okay, that's a lot different.
No, I don't think it's any different. It's what your city's
different.
Known for.
It's a lot different.
Boston clam chowder. You go to Boston, you get a clam chowder.
It's a lot different.
I disagree. It's part of the environment. It's part of the city.
I don't go eat steak on the coast. Yes, fresh fish.
Okay.
Love that. Depends what you like to eat. But each little city supposedly, I mean, what's different about eating seafood in Boston than in Miami, Baltimore, Washington, any place along
probably
the East Coast, the West
eat.
Coast?
You probably eat the fish that's off the coast of my Florida versus the stuff that's like the lobster in Boston. I think there's probably a difference
I'm
there.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
I think you eat what the city's famous for.
Are you
Philly
telling me?
Philly.
Are you telling
you
me?
You eat out of a food truck when you go to New York. You just do.
Are you telling me? I eat out of a food truck if I'm in Omaha. Are you telling me that the food, the pizza in Chicago
And I'm drawing a blank right now, but I think Rocket, right?
Yeah. Your home. Oh, yeah.
Rocket, so you're telling me it's that much better?
It's different.
Exactly. It's different. It's not that much better. It's just different.
It's outstanding. So is barbecue
in Kansas City. We had Adam on when we were talking.
They're both great, Vanderbilt. I have two children. I can love both of them. I can love both Rocket Pizza and the Chicago-style pizza we had. I can love both. I think they're both really, really good. That was really good. I don't know why I got to pick one or the other. You know, I mean, if there's a fire, I'm going to try to pull both kids out of the fire. I really am going to give it my best effort. I don't love one more than the other. You know, so I think I can love both. You talk about loving food. You're making me choose which kind of pizza I want to eat. No. That's not how we do this. We eat all the pizza we can get our greedy little mitts on.
A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Carney Chicken Coop, where yesterday I had a nice French dip sandwich, let's say, with cheese on it and a side of macaroni and cheese
and an ice cold beverage. You don't have to choose
and
one thing,
the Royals
don't
beat
have
the
to
Pittsburgh Pirates. It was a great time, well accommodating. I went to that after going up to the American Legion baseball game. I felt American. I felt Midwest last night. Worked late, went to the baseball game, went to the chicken coop.
You eat local. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
You eat local.
I love the Chicken Coop. I love a lot of places in the Tri-Cities. And the Chicken Coop was my spot last night. And it was wing night. On Tuesday, Monday night, it's boneless. Tuesday night, it's bone-in. They have a special every lunch hour, and they have special in the evening as well. So go on this Wednesday and check out your favorite food, whether it's the special or whether it's an item on the menu. Of course, they've got the pizza and the burgers and the wings, but try the ribs. Try the steak. Try the fish, the salmon. They've got a variety of things, and salads, of course, are always good anytime, especially on a warm summer day. And if you need room to accommodate large groups, they offer the convenient party area. Stop in today and enjoy your time at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill while we were hungry.
You know, and I found a good place in Times Square in New York that served really good New York-style pizza. So, you know, you have to be eclectic. You have to be eclectic. And New York-style pizza is much more similar to what they serve
at the Rocket. If I knew what that meant, I would attempt it.
Chicago-style sticker. That's the brief summary.
No, Chicago-style. I know what the difference between Chicago and New York is.
You had me confused. I wasn't sure.
Once in Illinois,
now we know where we're at.
Hope you got a chance to listen or watch some Royals baseball last night. It was an exciting game, pitching into offense, so good games there. But trouble is now brewing for the Royals,
and injury issues,
the wrong time because the trade deadline's coming up. Dayton Moore usually hasn't been a panic person. I did not like what Ned Yost said in the post-game press conference. I was listening on the way home last night, and they air a little bit of it live on the Royals radio network, of course, on the Breeze. And they asked Ned Yost, now that Jason Vargas... They sent Yordano Ventura down to Omaha. They may have to call him right back up because they sent him down to make room for Jason Vargas, who'd been on the DL. He didn't get out of the second inning, and it didn't look good with the arm injury. And so we'll find out more about that later today. But you have two of your starting pitchers from the beginning of the year that could be one out, one not pitching well. That leaves you a couple.
Yeah, but
we're talking top-end pitcher here for the Royals. So Ned Yost was asked, have you talked to Dayton Moore? Have you been in discussions with Dayton about what you need or what you want? And he says, I let Dayton handle that.
Well,
and then he went into his explanation and didn't. I mean, it was like, Dayton gives me players and I coach them. Huh?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Ned, sometimes, let's face it, a couple years ago when Ned, last year in May, Ned Yost was a week away from being fired.
Yeah.
And that's the way most people view it across the nation, and especially those in Kansas City. And a lot of people can get along with that. But oaf is not the word I'm looking for here, but some people don't think that Ned's the brightest guy out there when it comes to managing. Likeable guy, but not, he's a puppet, some people think. And he just kind of answered the question last night like he's a puppet. He should be concerned. He should say, yes, we're looking. I'm not going to, you know, he doesn't have to tell the reporter that, well, we need a fourth pitcher and we need, he could say, we're looking into this, we're doing that, but that is not at all what it sounded like.
But when you do that, though, you're going to get the follow-up question, then you're going to have the debate, and then you do open the door for division and animosity between the general manager and the manager. I mean, you do open that door. Ned Yost basically is saying that's his job, that's what he's going to do. I don't think at all that Ned Yost isn't having a conversation with the general manager in terms of what their needs and what they want to do. I think they're having those conversations. By playing dumb, and I'll use your phrase for it, by playing dumb with this, it ends the conversation, and then we don't have to worry about him dancing around stuff, you know? So I don't know if it's quite the issue that you're making it out to be, but I do get what you're saying in terms of he was about a week away from getting released, probably getting fired, at least from the outsiders. But again, if he's that cautious in terms of how to protect that relationship with the general manager, maybe he had a little bit more security than what we like to give him credit for.
And my thought process there is based on those that are in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Those that hear it and read it and see it every single day.
Seeing it a lot closer. Yeah.
That's just the way I'm. The Royals are favored, a slight favorite tonight. Volquez gets the start, 7-10.
Former
on the Breeze, 94.5. And again, to the start of that, I hope the Royals don't sell the farm to try and win it this year. They've got a nice cushion.
They do.
And I don't think that they will. And with all due respect to you, Johnny Cueto is not who the Royals need. They have a fireballer.
Yeah.
They don't need Johnny Cueto. They might need somebody, but they don't need to get the number one guy.
I think we did go to Geno's. Isn't that what it was? I can't remember the name of the place.
Just got a call that said Geno's Pizza in Chicago is the best.
Well, look at that.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As we do, Jabba Chamberlain has found a new home with the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, again, if he makes the big squad, he's in that tax-free, really great, up in Toronto, that Canadian thing.
Mm-hmm.
We hate it because he would be with a competitor of the Royals, but probably going to end up in Buffalo, and who doesn't want to be in Buffalo in August? Hoping to get called up there maybe for the stretch run. But remember at the All-Star break how close the American League, or the week before, how close the American League East was? The Yankees are five up on all of them. There was four teams within a game and a half. Yankees are up five or more on all of them. We'll take a break. When we come back, Corey Westra, the GPAC commissioner, will go to Mike Carmen in Lafayette to talk Purdue football and a little American Legion baseball talk as well after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Your customers make your business. Every day you want to attract new customers and keep the ones you have, at the same time running your business within a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, wall graphics, banner stands, and even wraps for your company vehicles. Copycat Printing can help you stand out at the fair or conventions with a booth that will turn people's heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, 21st and Avenue A in the downtown Kearney Center, or visit their website, kearneycopycat.com. Copycat Printing. A better idea.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood. And we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
for today, partly sunny, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 81. Tonight, we'll continue the slight chance of storms with a low near 68. For Thursday, mostly sunny, temperatures at 91 degrees. Currently, it's 72.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter. Where, you know, yesterday was, I'm gonna chalk it up, work day. Something was just off yesterday. I'm not into that whole chakra thing, but it was like yesterday things weren't all aligned. Today has been a pretty busy day. And then during the break here, we talked about a couple things that I tried to let go this morning.
And you're not going to let go of it. Got
one of them. Okay, so the NBA players, the NBA Players Association decide, hey, let's go to Vegas and have our own awards banquet so that we have a reason to be
in Vegas. Yeah.
And then half of this morning is James Harden is the player's MVP. Who cares?
It's a popularity contest.
Steph Curry is the MVP from the media. They pick James Harden. It's not LeBron. What? He's going to put that trophy up on his man. That's going to be the biggest trophy James Harden ever gets, is that the players thought in 2014-15 he was the best.
Yeah, there's not exactly the history behind that award that I think you really need to give this a whole lot of credence to. I'm with you.
And then 30 seconds. It might not even last 30 seconds. Again, something needs to happen. And, of course, in news, it's got to be negative. But something needs to happen so that the news channels, the morning news shows, have something to talk about. Because if you're telling me that you need to give me 5 minutes on a T-shirt in Target, you have a problem. You have a problem, and this is where it would get into a news talk show. So if you don't get it, you don't have an open mind, forget it. If you don't want it, if you don't like it, don't buy it. Don't go to Target.
Yeah.
Weirdos.
Yeah. If you don't like it, don't buy it. And by the way, that might work, because if enough people don't buy the Trophy Wife T-shirt, probably they'll stop making it.
No. Great advertisement. They're going to be going out the door. Guaranteed. Free advertising.
Which is right into my point. Somebody's out there wanting to buy.
So that was a great intro to bring in Corey Westra from the commissioner of the Great Plains Athletic Conference, joins us here on ESPN Radio in the Tri-Cities, the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and it's been eons since we've talked to the commissioner. Corey, thanks for the time this morning, and hopefully you'll continue to shop at Target. How are you?
I tell you what, I got to see James Harden in the lobby of the Charlotte Weston at the NAIA convention this year because they played the Hornets. And if I was giving an award to James Harden, it would be the biggest standoffish human being I've ever met in my life. He was ignoring everyone. He just put his head down, had his headphones on, and he was not engaged with anybody. So that's my James Harden pitch for the day. He didn't leave a real favorable taste in a lot of people's mouths. Kevin McHale was very personable, but James Harden, not so much.
Well, and of course, Harden, is the beard's cool. And so it's a little
it's not like you don't know who it is.
Right,
obvious in 2 seconds who you're looking at. So,
either that or he's Moses. I'm not sure which.
Well, a couple of reasons, obviously, that we wanted to talk to the GPAC commissioner. Obviously, the news came out this week. We talked about it early on Monday. Then the news officially broke later in the day that Nebraska Wesleyan was leaving the Great Plains Athletic Conference. And there's two sides to this I want to look at, Corey. The first one is, I think a lot of people understand it because Nebraska Wesleyan was the different looking member having to play a little Division III, a little NAIA. That's weird that Division III doesn't allow scholarships, so they had back and forth. So I'm guessing as the commissioner you can understand it, yet when it finally happened it sounded like it was a little out of the blue.
Yeah, I think you've probably got a fairly fair assessment of both sides of the coin there. Certainly, for years, they've kept the dual affiliation. They were the last one in the country to have an NAIA and NCAA dual affiliation, and they have held on to it for a very, very long time. If you go back in history, a lot of schools used to do this. But then most schools made that decision on where they wanted to go. But Wesleyan did definitely keep both. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, they were looking for a home, and somebody gave them a home. You know, the Iowa Conference decided to do something that they haven't done since 1922, and that's go outside of the borders. And you know, I get it from an Iowa Conference perspective. They're looking for stability. You know, they play the numbers game just like anybody else does. And in Division III, the magic number is 7. And they were at 8, and this would put them at 9. And, you know, they're just trying to stabilize a little bit in terms of what they need to do to be a viable conference. So on the flip side, you know, it just kind of all of a sudden happened, and it was kind of thrown in our lap a little bit, and there it was, you know. And so that part hurts and stings a little bit, but, you know, we will move forward from here now that we've kind of digested over the last couple of days.
Corey, did you have the opportunity to do a little courting of Nebraska Wesleyan to try to keep them in the fold, or did this really just kind of sneak up and they said, we're done talking and we're out the door?
No,
was there negotiations?
No, we didn't. You know, it was a situation where I don't think there's anything that we could have done to change that momentum and that plan to move forward. So no, you know, it was that decision was made, and they have moved on to make that decision to go to the Iowa Conference.
Talking with Corey Wester, he's the commissioner of the Great Plains Athletic Conference, of which all the Nebraska NAIA schools basically are a member of. Hastings Doan on down the line, Concordia, and has been strong in a number of sports. On the flip side of that, you did add the College of St. Mary. Now, again, this is just in women's sport, but to talk about what they bring to the table for you.
Well, I think they bring quite a bit to the table. You know, yes, it is a women's only school. That's who they are. But it's a school that has really grown and really done a nice job of, you know, having a niche market in Omaha, which was very important to us, was to try to get into the Omaha market with a school that fit. And we did have to change some things relative to not having the men's sports. But, you know, I think they bring a lot to the table. They've been very competitive. They're a national qualifying women's basketball team and do expect to be pretty good in women's basketball this year again. So I think that's an asset. And they have a lot of NAIA sports, which has always been a part of what the GPAC has been. We're a broad-based sport offering conference, so we're not just a one- or two-sport deal. So we're looking forward to a relationship with CSM, and that does start, of course, this fall.
Corey, all this attention in terms – they always are talking about retraction and expansion of conferences, and usually that's obviously Division I NCAA. Is it a little bit more stable with the NAIA, and is the conference looking at the possibility of maybe finding another member or two?
Well, it has not been stable in the NAIA the last couple of years. There's been all kinds of action going around, especially here in the Midwest. Just maybe kind of walking people through that a little bit. To the east in eastern Iowa, the Midwest Collegiate Conference has ceased operations. Grandview and William Penn announced first that they were going to the Heart of America, and then now Clark and Mount Mercy have followed suit. Viterbo is going to the North Star Conference, which has kind of come back onto the map up in North Dakota and northern part of South Dakota. St. Ambrose out in Davenport, they are going to the Chicagoland Conference. So that whole nucleus of that MCC conference imploded and have gone different directions. It has been announced that Ashford will be closing, and Waldorf is also in that group, and they're going to the North Star. AIB out of Des Moines, they have ceased athletics, so that's just east of us. And then to the south of us, the MCAC, the Midlands Collegiate Athletic Conference, with Bellevue and York and the College of the Ozarks in that group, they're done as well, and everybody's kind of grabbed on there. We picked up College of St. Mary. York is going to the KCAC. College of the Ozarks still does not have a home. They're going to be an independent school for the foreseeable future. So there's been a lot going on around us. We continue to remain committed to our mission and our bylaws of being faith-based private institutions. And, you know, again, to reiterate, we're still very strong. You know, we've got 10 men and women's schools, and then the College of St. Mary is a female school, so we're at 11 moving forward when 16, 17 gets here, and that's still a very strong conference as far as NAIA standards go.
Corey Wester with us for another couple minutes, the commissioner of the GPAC conference. I don't want you to say that you're targeting anybody, but if the GPAC was looking to expand, I'm trying to find out who those schools would be. Without naming one or two, maybe you can name six or eight. Is that possible that you could tell us who would fit the mold? Not that they're looking, but who would fit the mold?
You know, not really, because of all the changes. You know, I think there's a there's just not a lot of options anymore without, you know, really digging in and seriously pursuing some people who have maybe made some other decisions as to where they're going. And I met with our president's chair yesterday. We're gonna go to the drawing board and draw up some ideas and, you know, see what we think. But I think we both kind of had that conversation, and then at the end of it kind of looked at each other and said, but we're still pretty strong with what we have. So, you know, at this point, no, I don't have a short list or a long list or a medium list or anything. You know, I as I shared on another radio interview yesterday, a lot of it is simply opening up a map and looking at your geographical area. I think that that's really important to us. You know, at this level of athletics, you've got to be so cognizant of travel. It is just, you know, budgets are so paramount in the NAIA because it is an expensive endeavor to have athletics. So, you know, we'll kind of get our conversations going here again. And, you know, we did just expand. So it's not like we're sitting on our hands and didn't do anything. We just did take College of St. Mary in the last year. So, we'll move forward with what we have right now.
Unless I'm overlooking something, the other NAIA Nebraska schools would be Bellevue, Peru State, and York that are not in the NAIA. And again, we've got to remember the GPAC is still a fairly young conference, just celebrating their 15th anniversary. Corey, could I be brazen enough to ask you if any of those schools have recently at least talked to you?
No, they have not. You know, York just decided to go to the KCAC. The Peru State has been in the heart of America now for a few years. And then Bellevue, of course, has latched on into the North Star. So, you know, they've all found places to go in recent months. So none of those conversations have occurred.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this. You got the new logo out now for the GPAC conference that people will start to see as fall sports is coming. We've got August 6th for the football media day. Just your outlook for the upcoming fall sports season.
Well, we're coming off a great year. We had two national championships. We had an outdoor track and field men's championship with Concordia. We had a women's basketball championship, got that back in our conference after a two-year break, and actually had a pretty foregone conclusion it was going to happen because
yeah.
We had the whole Final Four, so that was pretty fun. We also had you know, just a great year in a lot of individual sports as well, with numerous individual track champions and the like. So year 15 was pretty fun. Year 16 should be pretty exciting as well. Just looking here in the fall, we expect Morningside College to be a top three out of the gate team in the NAIA. They have picked up Wisconsin Whitewater, the presumable number one Division III team, as an opponent here in Sioux City on a Thursday night game that we're working to put on a national platform. We're pretty excited about that to kind of, you know, show off the NAI a little bit. So we expect to have a ultra competitive basketball season coming up, adding another national qualifier on the women's side with College of St. Mary into what's already a dogfight in women's basketball. So, and then of course men's basketball, we had the national runner up this year with Dakota Westland. So, it should be a pretty good upcoming year. You know, other sports, volleyball, I think was really strong again this past year. You know, if Northwestern probably didn't have their best player get hurt, they probably could have made a pretty deep run in Sioux City, but, you know, those things happen. So I think we have a great year upcoming here for year 16 with a new logo, new branding, and Football Media Day is August 6th at South Sioux at the Marina Inn, and looking forward to talking about all the great things upcoming here in the GPAC this year.
All right, Corey, we appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Enjoy what's left of your summer.
It's going fast, but I appreciate the time and appreciate our supporters there in that part of Nebraska and everything that's going on. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Corey. Corey Westry, GPAC Commissioner here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up, we're going to talk Big Ten football, Lafayette Journal and Courier with Mike Carmen. We'll also talk Tino Martinez, Grand Island Home Federal. Kind of brush the bad taste out of the mouth from last night. They're still going to state. They're actually, if I've got it right, it's not officially up, but we'll play Hastings in the first round of the state tournament. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. Meantime, our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, what's the most meaningless game to win? And 67% said any celebrity all-star game. 22% said the NBA Summer League Championship. 11% said the Snoopy Bowl, which is the Giants-Jets preseason game. Today, after the NBA Players Association announced that James Harden was voted as MVP by the players, who would you name as the NBA's MVP? James Harden by the players, Steph Curry by the media. Curry won it all. Bottom line, I'm going to say Curry, with no disrespect to James Harden, because there's about three, four, five of them. I mean, let's face it, LeBron James is the best player.
He is. So, and that apparently not one of our options. But those are the Steph two that have the MVP award, so I understand why we're doing just those two. I would go with Curry as well. They've had more success, actually plays a little bit of defense. He's not a tremendous defender, but at least he shows up.
You can vote on a Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com.
The Buffalo County Fair and Midway Auto Dealerships are proud to bring you Hairball on Thursday, July 23rd at 8 p.m. on the Beer Garden stage in the Buffalo Corral. Hairball is a rock and roll tribute band that puts on more than a show. It's a glorious musical event. It's like watching a bunch of different classic rock concerts in one night. Get your tickets now for Hairball at etix.com. $20 in advance or pay $25 the day of the show. Don't miss Hairball, July 23rd at the Buffalo County Fair. Head to etix.com.
Buzz's Marine is getting away from it all and bringing our showroom to you. Join Buzz's Saturday, July 25th for an on-the-water boat show at Lakeshore Marina on Johnson Lake. You don't want to miss this. Bring the family, check out our inventory, and cruise the water before you buy. Get low financing on our full line of boats powered by Yamaha Outboards. Go to buzzesmarine.com for details. Let Yamaha Outboards power hours of fun July 25th at Lakeshore Marina on Johnson Lake. Create family memories to last a lifetime with Buzz's Marine. We'll see you on the water.
Golfers, mark your calendar for August 1st and 2nd and play in the annual Miller Coors three-person golf scramble at the beautiful Kearney Country Club. Not only does your entry fee include golf, cart, and steak dinner, but a Calcutta, prizes, and four complimentary Miller or Coors products. A practice round on Friday, a shootout Friday night, and golf Saturday and Sunday. Call the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553 and sign up for the annual Miller Coors three-person golf scramble August 1st and 2nd.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Raxham Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
Hey, Bada Bada, hey, Bada Bada, batter up. Get out and play at the Hastings Family YMCA in the batting cages. The outdoor batting cages are now open. The cost for the batting cage is only 50 cents per round. And enjoy mini golf, too. Come out and experience your Y this summer and have some fun in the batting cages and playing mini golf. For more information on batting cages, mini golf, or any upcoming events at the Hastings Family YMCA, contact the Y at 402-463-3139 or log on to hastingsymca.net.
Daddy's show rolling along, ESPN Radio. Don't forget, next month is the Alzheimer's Walk here in Kearney, and ESPN and Platte River Radio being a big part of the walk to end Alzheimer's. In fact, you can join our team, the Doug and Daddy Show, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Just click on the purple Alzheimer's Walk banner on our website, hit the Kearney Walk, and you'll find all the information that you need. If you'd like to make a donation to my team, the Doug and Daddy Show, just type in my name, Doug Duda, or you can walk with one of the other organizers or one of the other teams, or just give a donation on your own. Any size pledge helps to end Alzheimer's. The walk to end Alzheimer's next month. We could use your pledge right now. ESPNSuperstation.com.
Does that make you a coach, or would you be more of a general manager with this?
Definitely general manager.
General manager.
Hoping to be able to complete it.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days, July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the West Division for today's team, the Purdue Boilermakers.
Nebraska will get a chance to travel to West Lafayette, Indiana on Halloween to take on Purdue. And we are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio from the Lafayette Journal and Courier, Mike Carman, Doug Duda, and Randy Bushcutter. And Mike, good morning once again. How are things in Lafayette?
Beautiful. Lovely.
That's what we have here, beautiful and lovely as well.
they never say that on the weather.
we talked when we were talking about the game last year, we said, finally, we're going to get to Nebraska. Hasn't had a chance to play everybody in the Big Ten since joining, and they sure haven't had a chance to go every place in the Big Ten. And we talked about a couple of things that they were continuing to do on campus. We've talked Purdue baseball, some of the things that they're building, some of the things that they're expanding, some of the neat places to go. But this is West Lafayette's a little bit different than some of the other Big Ten campuses. Just kind of explain to the fans as they come out there, Mike, what they're going to see.
You think it's a little different? It is a little different. It's smaller. It's Indiana. It's tucked between Chicago and Indianapolis, surrounded by, you know, basically cornfields. But there, you know, there's things to do in every college town, and, you know, West Lafayette usually doesn't get high marks when you're ranking the cities of the Big Ten, but there's been a lot of progress here, a lot of upgrades, not only the Purdue campus, but surrounding campus and in the town of West Lafayette, along with Lafayette. There's kind of two cities here that create one big community, but yeah, there's always something to do, always somewhere to go and eat. And, you know, there's festivals and all that throughout the year. So it's a nice little community that has held up well over many, many decades.
Mike, what is the feeling like over the team? Darryl Hazell has been there. This will be coming his third year. He's only won four games in the first couple of years. He really kind of inherited a mess. Are the expectations a little bit higher since he has made an improvement from year one to year two, or is it still kind of a wait and see attitude?
Probably a little bit of both. I think the fan base, you know, wants to see a few more wins, which is natural. And they had opportunities last year to get more than three wins, but you know, they were not able to close out games. They were within, you know, a touchdown between 7 and 10 points in several games last year, but just didn't have the depth or the overall talent to close out those games, and, you know, ended up you know, with a long losing streak to end the season. So, you know, it's time to push this program forward in the win column. And obviously people are expecting more than three. You know, a bowl game would be ideal, but that may be too much to ask of this team at this point in Darryl's development of the program.
Just for the fans, went from one win to three wins last year. They did get back in the win column in the conference. They beat Illinois, but then it was six straight losses to end the season, and all decent football teams, and at Minnesota. That was a one-point game at Minnesota. So as Mike said, they did kind of make their mark, and there are winnable games for below 500 teams to get above 500 on this year's schedule. Eight returning starters on both sides of the ball. They've got their kicker and their punter returning to this football team. Who, in your estimation, or what side of the ball is going to have to lead it? Because they were obviously pretty weak on defense, but sometimes that comes from a lack of offense. So how do you see it this fall?
Well, I think both sides have to take a big step. I think there's defense probably has a few more individual pieces where they can, you know, they can maybe see a little bit more improvement. But on the offensive side, the entire line is back, and plus they're going to add a few more bodies, so they're going to have more depth. Last year, they basically played six players on the offensive line for 99% of the snaps, and they've been trying to work in more depth. They feel like they have a few more bodies that can help with the rotation. But, you know, back to defense, I think they've got a good nucleus up front at the tackle position with three guys, Jake Rapogo and Ryan Watson and Rayzon Howard. You know, their linebackers are all returning, and then their cornerbacks. You know, I feel they have two really good cornerbacks and Frankie Williams and Anthony Brown. There's questions at safety, question on the defensive end, but, you know, the defense needs to slow down the run. In 13 of Darrell Hazel's 24 games at Purdue, the defense has allowed 200 yards or more on the ground. So they've got to improve that area. And then offensively, they got to find some playmakers. They've got, you know, they got to settle their quarterback situation. And they've got to have some receivers step up and stretch the field and maybe open up this offense a little bit more than what we've seen the first 2 years.
Mike, I know Coach Hazel has been talking a lot about finishing games and finishing strong, and you talked a little bit about the depth being kind of a problem there. You can't just preach finishing strong. There has to be some sort of steps to try to make it so the team's going to be a little bit stronger down the stretch. What are they really trying to do to kind of follow through with that mantra of finishing games strong?
Well, you know, some of that goes back to the start of the game. Are you getting off to a good start? Are you having to fight and scratch your way back just to get even at some point in the third or early in the fourth quarter? You know, if you can get off to a better start, you're able to dictate things a little bit better. You play with a little bit more confidence. For them, it's 60 minutes. All the games come down to the fourth quarter, but, you know, what happens in those first couple series offensively? Do you go three and out instead of maybe sustaining a couple drives and getting some points? Purdue's offense right now is at a point where when you get in the opponent's territory, you need to come away with points, because right now they don't have that big play capability where you think they're going to rip off one, you know, for 80 yards. So they've got to take advantage of every situation. If that comes in the first or second quarter, then I think they'll be in a better position down the stretch, maybe to close out a few more games.
Talking with Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal and Courier as we preview Purdue on our 14 teams in 14 days, getting ready to head to his neck of the woods in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days next week. You talked about a strong offensive line that can only help a running back situation that seems to be as wide open as any position. They're just short of a 1,000-yard rusher last year, but not a whole lot of experience coming back.
Yeah, there's virtually no experience in the backfield, but, you know, as all coaches are, they're optimistic about the guys they have. And DJ Knox is, I would put him the leader in the clubhouse right now, as the number one guy. But I think you're going to see a lot of running backs from Purdue this year until one guy just really emerges. They're going to play a little bit more up tempo. They're going to try to, so that's going to, give other players a chance and keep players fresh. You know, the running backs they have now, they're kind of all the same. They're the same height, same build. They do a lot of the same things. You know, there's not a lot of difference between the three or four of them when you watch them play. But, if they can get those guys in a normal rotation, maybe one guy's a little bit stronger in the third and fourth quarter and you're able to maintain some drives. You know, the one thing that they had last year with Nakeem Hunt and Raheem Mostert, that was the big play capability. You know, they could go 80 yards in one play. I think this running game is probably going to need 7 or 8 plays to get 80 yards. It doesn't mean they don't have the speed. It's just, I think that's the type of running game they're going to have this year.
Well, obviously, Purdue, when you think about Purdue football, they've got a great tradition of quarterbacks from Bob Greasy back in the late 60s.
Okay, and eventually, Dolphin fan. Okay.
Who, by the way, is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Drew Brees today.
I mean, there's a lot of tradition there at Purdue at the quarterback position. They do have a little bit of experience there, but there's still a lot of question marks on who's going to be your leader of your offensive team.
Just another Bob Greasy note. They got a statue of him now at Evansville, Indiana, his hometown. They did that this summer. So
I'll make my vacation plans.
There you go. Put that on your map. Put that on your Google map, brother.
Just so you know, Evansville is about 4 hours from Lafayette. It's a big state.
He'll make the drive. Don't worry.
Austin Appleby is the guy with starting experience. And David Blau, the other candidate, hasn't played yet. Blau has played well in both spring games he's been involved in. We still don't know who the starter is going to be. You know, if they played a game today, it'd probably be Appleby. But, you know, Darrell says they're going to wait 2 weeks in the camp before naming the starter. This is a decision that Darrell and his staff, they have to get right. I mean, they can't They can't be making a change again after the fifth game, something they've done the first 2 years, and they've made the change all based on performance. There's been no injuries involved, but they've changed quarterbacks kind of midway through the season because the original guy wasn't getting it done. So they've got to get this right because they have to start the season with a good record in the month of September. You know, they need to be 3-1 before they hit the Big Ten season. And in order to do that, you've got to be able to produce some offense. You're going to play some teams in the non-conference that can score, and you've got to figure out a way to keep up with them. And that starts at the quarterback position. And, you know, we're just all kind of interested to see how that plays out again this year.
Well, and we've talked about it in every interview we've had, and we will in the ones to come about the schedule. And it looks to me, Mike, that Purdue, again, has that inverted schedule. I see five games that if you're just a neutral observer, that you have to think Purdue has a chance to win, and then a couple more, maybe they would be an underdog and could pull an upset in. But for the fans out there, they play Marshall at home, who went 12-1 or 13-1 last year, Virginia Tech at Marshall, Virginia Tech at home, and then they've got Indiana State and Bowling Green. But the first four games in the conference, Michigan State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Nebraska. Then they end with maybe all winnable games if you're a good football, decent football team, Illinois, Northwestern, Iowa, Indiana, all middle of the pack. How do you see this season playing out if some of the parts fall in like you think they will?
Well, I think the perfect scenario for them is to go 3-1 in September, 3-1 in November, then you're in a bowl game. Winning a game against one of those four teams in October is going to be rough. Now, if you get to 3-1 at the end of September, you're going to have a little bit more confidence. You've done some things right. Maybe you can knock off the Minnesota at home. But, you know, right now it looks like 0 for October for them. But if you can book in successful months in September and November, you got a chance to get to 6. You know, I think probably 5 is the high watermark for them this year. But if you stay healthy in the right spots and you get a couple breaks and you finish out a couple games you didn't finish out last year, you know, come November, you might have a chance to play a meaningful game that could get you to the postseason.
Mike, I'll wrap it up with this because we always at least like to put a little fear in Husker fan around here. After that, I mean, let's face it, after that three-game juggernaut, and I'll put Minnesota in there now, but Michigan State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, it's a bye week before Nebraska. It's Halloween. If they kind of get thumped around a little bit, it's going to be rally the troops time. I find that is a possible scary game for the Huskers, depending on where they are at that time. Could Purdue give them a game?
Yeah, because I think there's a lot. While there's a lot of questions with Purdue, there's still several questions with Nebraska, with the new coach, and you know how quickly Tommy Armstrong adapts to Mike Riley's offense, and will Tommy Armstrong be the quarterback when Nebraska visits Purdue? In late October, if he's not grasped everything that he should by them. I'm sure that you guys have debated that in the past and we'll debate it again in the future. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it just depends where Purdue's at that point. They're going to have a bye week. You know, if you're through that stretch and you've been competitive with Michigan State, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, and you're still relatively healthy, then, yeah, I think Purdue can give him a scare. The other thing, I mean, if Armstrong's the quarterback, he's been picked off 5 times by Purdue in 2 games. So, you know, the past tells us he's a little shaky against Purdue. I know he's been shaky in other games, too, not just Purdue. Yeah. But so, I mean, there's a lot of factors that have to play out before then. But, yeah, I mean, I could see that as a very interesting game on both teams' schedule right now.
Nebraska at Purdue on Halloween. Mike Carmen of the Lafayette Journal and Courier, kind enough to chat Boilermaker football with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you at Media Days. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Mike Carmen, Purdue Boilermakers, as we said yesterday, the only mascot I know named after a drink.
There you go.
I'm sure it's vice versa.
I'm wondering if that's the case. I don't know. I'll have to research that one. Google, here I come.
We'll take a break. Be back with Tino Martinez. Talk Home Federal State Baseball after this.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
One of the most important things we can teach our kids is driving. Safe, proper driving habits keep your child safe from accidents long after they get their license. If you're looking for a new career or promotion, CDL and truck driving classes are available too. More details and registrations are available on the Nebraska Safety Center's website. The Nebraska Safety Center is here to serve your needs of driver education and other traffic-related classes.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
It's the 23rd annual anniversary parking lot sale on now at all Graham Tire locations. Buy three, get the fourth tire free on selected Goodyear, Dunlop, and Goodride tires. Or receive $50 instantly with the purchase and installation of four tires. Plus manufacturer's rebates up to $140 on select Goodyear tires. All backed with the lowest price guaranteed. Save money on all your auto service too. You do not want to miss this sale. All tires are on sale during the 23rd annual anniversary parking lot sale through Saturday, July 25th. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
As the maid poured wine and we prepared to dine.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, you to Randy Bushcutter in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Of course, be sure to see Midway and some of the great vehicles out at the Buffalo County Fair underway and going through the weekend. Great concerts. We will give you a chance to win tickets to Groove Puppet on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show. We got Alabama. We got Hairball. We heard about that in an earlier ad here during the Doug and Daddy Show. And that's all great as Midway is part of the community. But if you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, especially pre-owned, check out the brand new Midway Auto Outlet open for business in the old Killian Motors lot, which is also on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway has three dealerships in that four-block radius, which will allow them to keep over 25 makes and 600 vehicles in stock or in transit to the dealerships. And GMC has a few things going on right now. Qualified buyers can get 0% for 5 years, plus a $2,000 allowance on the 2015 GMC Sierra SLT. Check it out at your Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac or Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location. The dealers are on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
The Boilermaker mascot dates back to 1891 in Indiana, obviously, and the term Boilermaker for the combination of whiskey and beer actually is in the 1920s in Great Britain. So they're unrelated. They're unrelated. There you go. Now you know.
Was that a question on your college exam?
No, but okay. It's not what you know. It's what you can figure out, what you can find out.
See, Tino Martinez joins us here, the head coach of Grand Island Home Federal. They've been rolling along, and last night I'm sure they were two exciting games to watch, but Grand Island was hoping to get a win in one of those two. 6-4 in 11 innings and 12-10, and as we said on the sports this morning, a ton of guys left on base, ton of opportunities, but now that it's all settled in, Tino, how are you feeling this morning about your team heading into Saturday?
Well, you know, it's like the one positive about it, Doug, is, you know, we're playing in a state tournament, and so there's more baseball to play. There's years where, you know, in previous to the new format here with the two sides and 16 teams that, you know, we'd be sitting home for the state tournament. So I guess that's positive, but, you know, we have some concern about where we're at with some different aspects of the game. Obviously, run production has been real tough on us this year, and we need to be able to overcome that and able to be competitive starting Saturday.
Tino, obviously, if you guys would have been able to scratch out a win, the mood would be a little bit different. But you know your team pretty well. Does that mood, and I don't want to say that they're angry because you know them and I don't, but is that going to add to their determination, or are you afraid that it might go the other way?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, you know, which way that's going to go. I think it's more about just us as a team. I hate to oversimplify it, and I'm not a big believer in motivation and all that other type of stuff. I just think you're either capable and able and ready to compete, or you're not. And I guess that's the biggest question mark where we're at right now. Is that, you know, I just don't know on a day-to-day basis where we're at mentally. And if last night, you know, if you watched the two games, Columbus was by far and away the team that was ready to take the field and had a goal in mind, and they were chasing down that goal. They did a great job, and it was almost like we were more of a go through the motions type team. And in the end, I think the result was just that.
Tino Martinez, head coach, Grand Island Home Federal, like Kearney Runza. They have been champions of their area tournament for a number of years. Hastings hosting, and they're going to be hosting Grand Island Home Federal. That's where they go. How did you approach last night? Because I know over here, Kearney and Hastings had nothing to play for but which plaque. They knew where they were going already. I guess the site changes for you. Some people believe that the Hastings State Tournament will be easier, but it's still a state tournament. You're going to have to beat some teams. It didn't look like you threw your 1-2 last night. How did you approach it?
Well, we actually, in game 2, Calhinkie threw 3 or 4 innings. Lane Union thrown on Monday, so he was unavailable. Sunday, so he's unavailable. But no, we approached it with the intent on, trying to win a district championship and, go to Omaha. I know there's been a lot of talk about the Omaha one being the tougher one, but, I'm a firm believer in you need to win your way to the next level. And so we were approaching it that way. Now, not having done that, we are the benefit of the format that's in place for senior legion tournament, where, as a runner-up, we still get a go. But we approached it with the idea that the only outcome we were wanting was a district championship, and we didn't achieve that. And so we're on the way to Hastings, which, unless we get things figured out or whatever, it's not going to matter which one we're in. We have to play at a high level in order to be competitive, whether it's in the Hastings one or the Omaha one. So it's honestly just a lot about Grand Island Home Federal and less about whoever else is in the bracket.
Tino, I know you stranded a lot of runners yesterday. I'm looking for the silver lining here. The silver lining is you got runners on base, so it isn't like the offense isn't doing a lot of things right. How do you try to address that as you head into really the crucial tournament of the year?
And let me follow up on that, Randy, because that's a good question, because when we had Tino on 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, he was talking about that's how they score runs, is getting guys on before there's one out or two outs in the inning.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the, kind of our, style of play is we like to put runners in motion and do different things. A lot of those runners came, like in the ninth inning, we got bases loaded, but that was with two outs. I mean, we did leave bases loaded one time with no outs. We got bases loaded and didn't get a run across. Our strikeout percentage with runners in scoring position is horrendous right now. I don't know what approach-wise, but we definitely need to sit down and evaluate our approach when we get in the batter's box. I think we got to have a mindset of whatever I can do to get an RBI in this situation for our team, things like that. And I just don't think we're approaching those situations very well in the batter's box. Right now, early in the year, we were doing an excellent job. So I know we're capable. It's not a question, and I talked to our team a long time last night, and there's some teams that no matter what you do and are at this point in your season, you aren't to be able to turn around. You might just be a 15-30 team. And for us, I think people have seen us be on the other end of the spectrum, and so I feel that it is in our control whether we get this thing, you know, turned around here in the short time before Saturday. And so that is a positive for us. We are capable. We have shown that we are capable. It's just a matter of if we're going to put it together and you know, maximize that, you know, so-called potential. And so we'll see how it goes. It's not going to be easy, as you mentioned, Doug. It's still a state tournament. And believe it or not, you know, sometimes I have a hard time convincing the people around here that. But the other team that walks on the field to play us is also trying to win.
Well, let's talk about that and wrap it up with that, Tino. The official brackets are not up, but we understand that you'll have the first game against North Platte. Is that correct?
That's what, according to what I'm reading on in the Legion manual, and what I'm being told is we have North Platte as our first-round opponent, but I think the final bracket, official bracket, might be out later today, and we'll know for sure. But according to the Nebraska Legion manual, it appears that that's who we got.
And you're familiar with them. What can you tell us?
Well, I mean, they're feisty. We were able to escape North Platte here a few weeks ago with a doubleheader in order to stay in contention for the Cornhusker West Division league title, and you know, they gave us all we wanted out there. I know they have a good pitcher, number six. Can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's a hard throwing righty, and they got the Fluhop kid that kind of throws from a subby type position, and on the bases, they're probably the one team that plays most like us in the fact that they really like to steal bases, and they got the Barker kid and a couple other kids there in the top of their order who are hard to keep tabs on when they're on base. So we're definitely going to need to play better defensively, keep them off the bases, pitch better, and then hopefully, again, talking about those scoring opportunities, maximizing those.
Tino, always appreciate the time. Let's get this done right over at Hastings, because I know you guys have sights on maybe playing in that Class A overall championship game. So best of luck this week at State.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tino.
Thanks, Tino.
Tino Martinez, head coach, Grand Island Home Federal. Again, with the way a couple of these districts played out, it's really weird. The original bracket says one thing, but it appears that's not the way it's going to turn out. Like, the original bracket has Hastings playing Grand Island, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Now we've been told that Hastings would play Millard South, Grand Island Home Federal would play North Platte. Looks like Kearney has Papillion when they go to Omaha, which would also be a morning game, so we'll let you know when those become official. Just like we let you know about your local T&L irrigation dealers, Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, Bill Shapley, Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, or anyone throughout the central part of Nebraska. They have the GPS navigation corner system ready to go. If you need a little help here to bring your crop home, we want you to talk to your local TNL dealer. Go to TLIRR.com or find out more at your local TNL irrigation dealer. Like no other, TNL. Glad to have you along with us. Great volleyball game last night. The softball for the All-Stars going on today. It looks like most all of the area kids did something well. A couple of them, Claire Hamburger of St. Cecilia, Morgan Studi of Kearney Catholic, were named the team's MVP. They give it a different name than MVP. It's called Most Valuable Teammate Award, not Most Valuable Player, Most Valuable Teammate. Studi had seven ace serves.
It's a nice ring to it, though.
Yeah, seven ace serves for Studi, and that's the most in any All-Star match in the years that they've been putting this on. And Emma Benton from Grand Island Central Catholic, key in the comeback, had 12 kills out of Grand Island Central Catholic.
Seven ace serves, that is phenomenal considering the level of competition that you have. You know, you've got people out there who are very, very good at starting the process of trying to serve that ball right back down your throat. And for her to be able to do that seven times, that's pretty impressive.
A couple other baseball notes we should mention here, that Grand Island Five Points has qualified for the Class A Junior Tournament in Fremont with an 8-3 win over Gretna. It's been raining out in Scotts Bluff, so today there is baseball at Memorial Field in Kearney. The A7 Junior Final, Hastings-Johnson Imperial will play North Platte beginning at 5 o'clock. North Platte would have to win twice, Hastings once, to make it to the state tournament, which begins on Saturday. And for Alma, unfortunately, they're going to remember how their season ended. Yay! State tournament, got a couple of wins, but yesterday Drew Goosey and Chase Connert threw a combined no-hitter. Lost.
Ooh.
Two runs, no hits, one error for West Point. No runs, two hits, three errors for Alma. So you get a couple errors, a sacrifice bunt, sacrifice fly, a walk mixed in there, a pass ball.
Just the offense dried up at the wrong time.
To advance those guys on. And so it will be West Point needing to beat Arlington twice tonight to win the Class C title, where in Class B, Crete stayed alive, so they'll play Hickman in the finals. And the winner of that in the semifinals, the winner will then play Bennington, the host team, in the championship game. So if you're a volleyball fan, it all gets started at the CenturyLink Center in Omaha. Six of the seven top women's volleyball teams in the world at the Grand Prix Finals running now through Sunday. The United States with Jordan Larson-Burbach, Kelsey Robinson, and Kayla Banworth of Nebraska will play Japan tonight at 8:05.
Everything's wrapping up. I mean, we're starting to make that transition to volleyball, and obviously a week from now, we're on our way to Chicago talking football. So
we had a lot to cover today.
We did. We got a lot done.
Best of luck to the baseball teams. We will continue previewing the Tri-Cities seniors teams that are going to state with Coach Archer and Coach Kindig over the next couple of days. Tomorrow, we look at Michigan State football as our Big Ten preview continues. We thank Mark Carman of the Lafayette Journal and Courier for looking at Purdue today. The commissioner of the GPAC conference, Corey Westra, and Tino Martinez of Grand Island Home Federal. We'll see you tomorrow, Randy.
See ya.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.